We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We've been talking about it. I talked about it with Mike Vaccaro. I mentioned it at the beginning of the program. Today's the 40-year anniversary of the tragic plane crash, of course, taking the life of Thurman Munson. And joining us right now is a guy who was a teammate of Thurman for a long time. He was obviously there in that 1979 team. He played in that game, the game against the Orioles, when Mercer got the five RBIs. And that, of course, is my buddy, Willie Randolph. Willie,
hi,
Willie. How are you?
I'm doing good, buddy. How you doing?
I'm good. By the way, let me just say this so Turnoff doesn't get crazy. You'll see Willie and myself tomorrow at the Yankee Fan Fest at McCombs Dam Park starting at 3 o'clock. So let me make sure I throw that in there so Chernoff doesn't get mad at me, Willie.
I'm looking forward to it. No, I was there last couple years, and we had a blast. You know, great group of kids out there, great exhibits. You know, we can do a little hitting, talk a little baseball. Hopefully it won't be too hot. Last year I think it rained, but it's going to be a beautiful day. I'm looking forward to hanging out with the kids and having a good time.
Yeah, it should be good, no doubt about it. And I just saw you last week at the Joe Torre outing. You were on that team. You played with Thurman. Your thoughts. Tell me how everything went down for you. How you found out about it. Tell me the whole deal from that that day.
Wow. Well, we left Chicago playing the White Sox at Old Comiskey Park, and it was going into an off day. So, a lot of guys were scattering around, and I noticed that, you know, the bus wasn't that full going back. Guys would sometimes go be with their families, and Thurman was that way. Every time it was an off day, he couldn't wait to get back to Ohio. Very much a family man, loved his kids and his wife, and he would always, you know, wouldn't see him most on almost off days. So we went back home, and, you know, it was kind of tired the next day. I slept most of the day, I remember. And I remember my wife coming in the room, and she woke me up and said that Thurman had passed. It was a weird thing about it is that I looked at her and turned around and just kind of went back, you know, like I closed my eyes and went back. And like I thought I was dreaming. I actually really thought I was dreaming. She hit me again and goes, Thurman passed. I can see in her eyes. She had the tears in her eyes. And I just lost it. I couldn't believe that I had just seen him the day before. This guy was like a mentor, a big brother to me. Took me under his wing as a young Yankee. And first time ever, Joe, losing a teammate like that. You know, you lose family and friends all that stuff. But I never experienced losing a teammate like that. And it just devastated me and the team. And that went, and that hurt us for a long time. It was just an unbelievable time. And I just couldn't believe that. I just seen him the day before, and now he was gone.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'll never forget it myself. And, you know, even you know, I don't care what fan of a team you were. I mean, Thurman was a tremendous player, and it was stunning news. I mean, it's almost like, to me, like the Kennedy assassination. That's how shocked I was, when I heard that went down.
That's the way it hit us. And you know, and Thurman wasn't just a great ball player on the field, but he was also a real smart guy. I mean, I like people to know a little bit more about Thurman as a person because, he was a real gruff kind of tough guy to get to know. He was surly with the media at times, but he loved children. He loved to have fun. He had a great sense of humor, but he was a real smart guy, Joe. He really was off the field, business-minded. He was getting ready for life after baseball. He used to talk about, you know, these businesses, these malls he wanted to start. It was back in the day when these malls were coming up. So he would always talk about that. You know, he studied, you know, everything he did. He was very sharp, very well-rounded. And I would always see him in the back reading these aviation magazines, and he was always studying and stuff like that. Roy White shared a lot with me about Thurman because Roy and Thurman go way back.
And
I learned a lot from, you know, about Thurman through Roy, and we talk about him all the time. To this day, we still do. But he was always very smart, very intelligent. A lot of people didn't know that about Thurman, but he was first and foremost an outstanding family man and just always loved to be home. That's part of the biggest reason why he wanted to take up flying, so on off days he could, you know, be close to his family and kids.
And he wanted to be traded to Cleveland, too. I mean, that was actually kind of like, really kind of, I don't want to say toward the end of his career, but he probably was maybe a little past his prime. I mean, I remember there was talk about him playing first base, and he wanted to be traded to the Indians to be closer to home, right?
He did. You know, he loved New York, he loved the Yankees, but that was the pull. He just wanted to be, you know, Michael, his son, was coming up, and, you know, one of the joys for me is to see how his family has grown, and I know Thurman would be unbelievably proud of his kids and his girls. I mean, I'm going to see Diana later on. I'm going to catch the first pitch from her at the stadium, and it's always good seeing her in old-timers' days. But Thurman loved to be in with his family and his kids, and he was gravitating towards leaving. He wasn't really a New York guy. I mean, he was just a country, but he just loved being in where he was comfortable. And he just wasn't that kind of guy who liked the attention, like all the fanfare. He played hard. He loved people, but he just, was very private and in a lot of ways very shy.
Yeah. Talking to Willie Randolph, the 40-year anniversary of the passing of Thurman Munson. You know, I say this all the time, and, back then, it was the big rivalry with Carlton Fisk. Mm-hmm. Fisk and Munson and all of that. And I always thought Munson was better. I mean, I got to tell you, I mean, when they were contemporaries like that, Willie, and mm-hmm. I know Fisk wound up playing a million years and wound up in the Hall of Fame, I always thought Thurman was a better player.
Yeah, I think he was all around. He was better. Thurman could run, too.
Right.
He could steal a base if you didn't watch him. But I think Carlton had the strong arm, the true Johnny Bench arm that Thurman didn't have. Thurman used to get rid of the ball.
Quick release, though.
But he would get it there. I would have this the thing where I would kind of get to the base and almost lean towards first because I knew the ball was going to tail into the runner, but I knew how to catch the ball and swipe tag and get the guy out. He threw quite a few guys out, but he was just such a bulldog. He knew how to also hit, not just for power, but he was one of those guys who could drive in runs, and if you got a man at second base, he hit the ball the other way. If you hung a curveball, he'd take you deep. And he just did things that would just beat you on the field every day. It wasn't like the way the ball jumps nowadays. Thurman could have hit a lot of home runs, but that wasn't the type of hitter he was. He was a winner, a gamer, and he tried to just drive in runs as much as he could. And he was one of those guys that when you needed that big run, you wanted him at the plate at that time.
Yeah, no doubt. He was a tremendous clutch hitter. There's no doubt about it. It's funny. I was just talking to Mike Vaccaro, the great columnist for the Post, and that home run he hit in the '78 playoffs against Kansas City to Death Valley in the old, in the old stadium, left center was like 430 whatever it was feet. I mean, that was a bomb, and he wasn't a big home run hitter. And it was funny too. I'm pretty sure, Willie, that was the last home run he ever hit at Yankee Stadium as well. I think I'm right about that.
I think you might be right. I'm not, but I remember so vividly that ball going over the left center field fence, and it was a shot.
Yep.
I mean, again, he could hit home runs if he wanted to be a pure catch and throw power hitting catcher. Because back in the day, that's what most catchers were. Big home hitters, but he understood that there was a lot to be said for driving in runs and being an important part of scoring runs for the Yankees, because their teams weren't really great offensively back then. They had DeRoy Whites and Chris Chambers came in 75, Horace Clark and Bobby Mercer and those guys were good hitters also. But Thurman just knew how to beat you. Fundamentally, it's not about home runs; it's about how many runs you score. And I just loved the way he stayed inside the ball and just inside out the ball to right center field. He was perfect at doing that, and I tried to emulate that at times. That's why my game was more suited for up the middle and right center field. He was just a consummate hitter.
Yeah, no question about it. And he had that great World Series. Even though the Yankees, you guys got swept in that series against Cincinnati in 76.
Yeah.
Well, he was phenomenal. You couldn't get him out in that series. He was phenomenal.
He had a great series. And people forget also he was the most valuable player that year. You kind of lose sight of that.
That's right, too. Yeah.
American League MVP. And so he carried that right into the World Series. Everyone got a chance to finally see Thurman Munson on the big stage. All those lean years with the Yankees, the years where they weren't a really good team. I think that America and the people in baseball got a chance to see Thurman Munson, how great he was as all-around player. And he stepped up. He just needed some help. I mean, he had some decent players, like I said, leading into 76. But when we picked up Mickey and I came along with the speed and we got Catfish and started adding some other pieces. Reggie came in 77.
Yeah, yeah.
All he needed really was some supporting help and Mr. Steinbrenner gave him that, and we added some other pieces. And so here we are 3 years in a row, which was unheard of for a while there, 3 years in a row in the World Series, even though, like you said, we got embarrassed in 76. But having said that, that really kind of propelled us into 77, 78. We were embarrassed totally. The Big Red Machine, phenomenal team.
They were pretty good. Yeah, they were a pretty good team, Willie.
No shame in there because they had a monster team. But it woke us up and it made us want to get back and show that we were better than that. And we had a very proud group of guys. Like I said, Thurman Munson, you got Roy White, Greg Nettles. We had a nucleus of guys who knew how to play the game, and we knew we could get back and maybe get on a roll. Teams back then didn't go back-to-back. I think the Oakland A teams that Reggie was on, they did a couple back-to-back situations back
in
the
70s. Yep.
Yeah, but we did something very special. And then so when Thurman passed in 79, it just threw us off, just shocked us all because he was our captain. He was our leader. And for him to go down like that, I'm telling you, it took us a good year or so to rebound from that. I mean, his locker was there. You know, he was the guy we really looked to, the guy that we really looked for as far as leadership and getting us where we wanted to go. And so it was just a solemn clubhouse for a lot of years, and it took us a while to really get ourselves going again.
All right, give me a feel of the relationship with Thurman and Reggie. Because, I mean, we all know Reggie, you know, I'm the straw right. that stirs the drink. They had kind of, and we all know the whole, you were on those teams. You were one of the same guys on the Bronx Zoo Yankee teams. I mean, you were, even though you were a young kid at that point. But, I mean, just give me a little feel of how, did they get along at all, Reggie and Thurman?
They actually did. I mean, listen, there was nothing really warm and fuzzy initially because, again, Reggie came in with all the brashness. He was, you know, talking, you know, I'm the guy and everything. And Thurman took that a little bit personal because he was the guy. I mean, and a lot of the nucleus of the team felt the same way. And Reggie was just this guy coming in, you know, trying to take over the clubhouse and not trying to take it over, but he just was very boisterous. A lot of guys didn't talk a lot back in the day about what they were going to do, but Reggie understood that he was coming to the New York Yankees. He wanted to be the guy that got us over the hump, and he did that. But I just think that they got off on the wrong foot just a little bit. Listen, they were competitors prior to that. Back when we played Joe, I mean, there was no buddy-buddy stuff going on.
I know, right.
If you played against a team, you know, there was no love lost there.
Sure.
There was rhubarbs. There was dust-ups. So there was that whole competitive thing that was going on. But I think there was a real respect for each other. I think that even though they didn't hang out much, I think that when you look at it in totality, they were had respect for each other. Because I remember a couple instances at the end there where I saw them embrace each other in the clubhouse. And this is after a championship, albeit, but you can see that they really felt that respect for each other, and that although they kind of got a little bit off the track a little bit, and the media kind of perpetuated a lot of that stuff, I think it was a little blown out of proportion, but I think there was a genuine respect for each other and won the field, and they knew they needed each other for us to win those championships.
You know, this incident didn't really involve Thurman, but I got to ask you about that day in Fenway in 77 when Billy comes out and pulls Reggie out of the game. Because that was crazy, you know, the fight in the dugout, Elston Howard's trying to separate them and all of that. I mean, and I know that didn't really involve Thurman, but I got to ask you about that. How about that? How crazy was that?
That was crazy. And I was kind of in the middle of that in a way because I could see this materializing from the bench.
All right, right,
and,
right,
and,
right,
and,
right.
And Billy, right. Billy, you know, him and Reggie always had things going on, so there was no love lost there either.
Right, right.
But I think Billy had a rough night. He wanted to, for some way, show Reggie up. And this didn't happen just then. This was kind of, I think, leading up to that point or whatever. So a little bloop of the right field. It was in no man's land because I couldn't get it. And even though Reggie, you know, kind of pulled up, he wasn't going to catch that ball.
Right,
but I think that Billy, I think he felt like he kind of loafed after the ball a little bit, got on the big hop. And I think this was Billy's opportunity to kind of show Reggie up on national TV. It was surreal in the way it happened. And, you know, I can see it going on. I'm like, oh, my God, this is going to happen right now. I see Paul Blair in the corner getting his glove. He gets it. And I'm saying, he's going to pull this out. He's going to do this right now. I look at Reggie.
Right,
and Reggie's
right.
kind of seeing that something's going on. So Reggie starts going out the right field like, okay, something's going down here. And the funny thing about it is that when Paul got by me, whatever, he, you know, Reggie was coming in about the same time. We were about standing around each other. And Reggie's like, what's going on? What's happening? He goes, I don't know, but you out of here, darling.
Who said this to him?
I'm trying to
say
Blair? Paul Blair
said,
I don't know, but you out of here, darling. And Reggie just went by him. And I'm like, oh, all hell's going to break through right now. And then you saw what happened on the bench there. If it wasn't for Yogi and Elston Howard, that could have been real ugly. Because when Reggie took his glasses off, I thought it was going to be on.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, and it's funny, too, because I remember if I'm not mistaken, the deciding game of the playoffs against Kansas City in 77, I think Splittorff started that game. And Billy didn't stop Reggie in that game.
He got
a big pinch hit later on in the winning rally, but he didn't start Reggie in that game,
He didn't. I mean, again, it all kind of filters around this little animosity they had towards each other. And Billy did some crazy stuff. I mean, he had him bumped that one time you know, what are you doing? It's one of the most prolific power hitters in the game. So he was always trying to mess with him a little bit, show him up a little bit. And Reggie didn't always take the bait. He knew what he was doing, what Billy was trying to do, but Reggie, to his credit, he kind of kept his cool for the most part. But there was just like an oil and vinegar kind of oil and water kind of thing. They just always at each other. But Billy did some stuff that nowadays you would never see managers get away with.
Yeah. Before I let you go again, we're talking to Willie Randolph. Give me, you were a big part. You were in the middle of that. I think you scored the winning run. I think it might have been you scored the winning run in the game that Monday night after the funeral when Mercer had the big game with the five RBIs. How about that? Was just surreal. I mean, I'll never forget watching that. And that, you know, was on ABC, Howard Cosell and all of that. Yes. I mean, it was a surreal night, Willie. How about that?
One of the most memorable games I've ever played in. You know, and back then, you know, we what happened with the Angels recently, you know, they had the time off and that day off went into that.
Right.
We went right to the ballpark from the funeral. We were on fumes. I mean, literally, we were holding each other up emotionally. I don't even know how we got through that as a team, but the way we rallied around each other, went out and played because we knew Thurman wanted us to go out there and play for him. It was just one of the most dramatic games I've ever played in. I had a good game that day. The way the game ended with Bobby Mercer, who was part of his eulogy, gave his eulogy
part of it.
And for him to muster up the you know, the strength to come out and play one of his best games, just the way the game ended in dramatic form, me touching home plate on with the winning run. And I just remember us, you know, rallying around each other, holding each other up basically as we walked from the first base box into the dugout. Everyone that night was emotionally drained. And again, I'll never forget that game because that showed our real gut as a team and how we wanted to honor Thurman that day and the way we pulled together and won that game. It was just dramatic. But again, been a lot of big games in my life, but that game I'll never ever forget.
Yeah, that was a classic moment, no doubt. Willie, I could do hours with you, man.
Yeah,
so much. You know, we could go on. We didn't even touch on any of the Mets stuff. I won't. That's not about the Mets today. So
not today.
No, but just great stuff. You were on those tremendous teams, the Bronx Zoo Yankees, and like I said, you were kind of like the voice of reason.
Yeah, kind of so. Yeah, I was a young cat at the time, but yeah, I learned from just watching and keeping my mouth shut. And those guys, the veteran guys, like again, Roy and Chris and Thurman, they taught me how to be a Yankee and how to go about my business. That's why, you know, I was honored later on with being captain, part of that whole captain legacy. And those are the guys that really set the tone for me or whatever. So thank you, Joe, for giving me an opportunity to share some of my feelings about Thurman, the captain. Again, I still miss him to this day, man. But I think, you know, Yankee fans, young and old, need to hear about what a great person he was on and off the field because he was the captain.
Yeah, Willie, great stuff, man. We'll look forward to seeing you tomorrow at the Fan Fest, all right?
Okay, all right, have a good one.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.